We're still in Luke chapter 12. I think this is the third week. We'll be in verse 22 through 34. This is God's word. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. This is God's word to us. Listen, I got to tell you, it's been a very busy couple weeks, really. We just got done with our weekender conference. We just took our son to college last Sunday. Busy during the week, prepping sermon for Progressing Pilgrims for this morning. A lot of other pastoral things, other day-to-day ministry responsibilities, being a husband and a dad. Then we had family come into town. We had a lot going on. And you know what I was feeling? Anxious. Felt quite convicted about it, considering our passage today as well. Anyone ever feel anxious? Yeah. Yeah. And anxiety comes and it attacks us in different ways. Messes with our minds. We can't think. We have trouble sleeping and concentrating. It affects us physically, right? Can make our heart do weird things. For me, it's my stomach. Anxiety affects us also socially in different ways. It can be really crippling, anxiety, can't it? And it's caused by a lot of different things as well, right? Fear of the future, fear of tomorrow, financial problems, work stress, school stress, past trauma, family issues, so much more. Many of our anxieties, we would argue, are legitimate things that we need to worry about, but weren't careful consideration how we deal with it. There's other anxieties that I would argue are not so legitimate. Have you heard of this thing called FOMO? It's a new thing, fear of missing out. Social media and our cell phones have given us this anxiety, and it's because we fear we're missing out on something in the world or with our friend group. So you know what we do? We take out our phone. We're constantly checking messages, Facebook, and everything else all the time, trying to find out, are we missing out on something? It's safe to say the causes of our anxiety in this culture are massively high at the moment, right? All over. And we deal with it in different ways, or try to, right? Sometimes we have to take medication or go to counseling. We turn to drugs, alcohol, exercise, comfort of a close friend or family member. And some of those remedies might help for a time, right? And they do. And it might be necessary for a time, like medication. But at the end of the day, they're still just temporary, aren't they? Good news, Christians. We're offered real long-lasting help in God's word. Amen? In our passage today, Jesus gives us a prescription for helping us deal with anxiety. He shows us that the believers, okay, so those who are following Jesus Christ, you don't have a need to worry. Isn't that wonderful news? Just if you took it at face value, that's great news. Right here in the pages of Scripture, we have a remedy to help us deal with one of the most prevalent issues in our day-to-day lives, anxiety. So as we walk through the text, I want to try and tackle it kind of like a doctor who would look at and treat a problem. The symptom, what's the cause, the diagnosis, and the prescription. Before we do that, let's pray once again and ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father, even right now, our hearts might be torn, our minds elsewhere. Father, help us to focus now upon your word and what you have to say to us. Speak into our hearts, into our minds. We might saturate our lives with the word of God, and that through the Spirit you would change us. And Lord, we pray again, if there's anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. In Christ's name, amen. First, let's look briefly again at the symptom. So the symptom's anxiety. That's what's being addressed mainly in the passage. You see there in verse 22, verse 25 and 26, the word anxiety. We also see the word worry, verse 29, and fear, verse 32. And they're all intertwined. To be anxious means to be torn apart. Like our minds, right, are in two different places. Body and mind's here, but it's away. Worry is to have a doubtful mind. And last week, we saw Jesus confront our hearts, do you remember, in regard to covetousness and possessions. It doesn't matter how much stuff we want, that at the end of the day, none of that matters, right? You cannot take anything in this life with you to the next. Our biggest need, look, he says in verse 21, is to be rich towards God. And so following that, Jesus now turns from the crowd and he's going to talk to his disciples, those that are followers. And he moves from the coveting and greed, which says, I can never get enough, to worry and anxiety, which is being afraid you don't have enough. It's all connected. Notice he says there at the beginning, therefore, verse 22. So the disciples might have been thinking after that lesson, all right, we can't have barns and possessions. Jesus just said that, all right? We must be rich towards God. I get all that. But how are we going to take care of ourselves, right? Who's going to take care of us then? Who's going to look after my earthly needs if possessions aren't a big deal? Who's going to provide for me? And he says to them, verse 22, don't be anxious about life, specifically in regard to your basic daily needs. Why? Because life is more than that. So the symptom, anxiety is showing up. The cause in this case, on the surface, they're worried about their daily needs. Food and clothing. You are concerned, basically, what do you think he's getting at as we walk through this? You're concerned with earthly things. Now, at the basic level, this almost seems wasted on us. As Andy said last week, Western culture, we don't worry about food or clothing, do we? We're not anxious for those things because we have them. I don't see any naked people in the room right now. Praise the Lord. But you see, in the ancient world, and today in many parts of the world, people actually do worry about having enough food for tomorrow or clothes to withstand harsh weather. We're blessed. We have our basic needs. And so it's interesting, we're the most taken care of, spoiled generation probably in the history of the world, and yet we're the most worried and anxious generation probably in the history of the world. And so you see how convicting this verse is in light of what Jesus is saying? He's telling his disciples, even though you might not know where your next meal is coming from or your clothes, still, he's saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious. How can he say that? Why shouldn't we worry about that? Right? Seems like a respectable thing to be anxious about. As I said, we might not worry about our next meal, but I'm sure all of us worry about our earthly needs in some way. Have you ever worried about your needs here on earth? Anyone? Sam hasn't. When it comes to food, clothing, let's look at bills, providing for our family. Most of us have experienced or are currently feeling some level of worry and anxiety about those things, right? So you might be saying, how can he say, don't worry about it? Well, verse 23, because life is more than food and clothing. Sure, some earthly things are necessary, and God knows that, but it is not the most important. See, Jesus is trying to get them to see the big picture here. He's trying to get them to see the spiritual reality behind the physical world. He's trying to get them to understand that their anxiety is caused by something more than just not having earthly things. There's a deeper issue going on. And so the main cause, the main problem of their anxiety is not actually that they won't have food or clothing. At the root, it is their trust in God. He wants them to put their anxieties away and trust God will indeed take care of them. How do we know this? Look at the text. He gives two illustrations, verse 24 and verse 27. So first, he talks about ravens, birds, right? They don't sow or reap, meaning they don't plant crops and then harvest them, right? Not only that, they don't have storehouses or barns to hold the harvest, yet, what does God do for them? He provides. If he does that for them, how much more will he provide for us? Then he talks about the lilies, the flowers. They don't dress themselves. They don't make their own clothing. And yet God clothes them more beautiful than even King Solomon. So if God does that for flowers who are only alive for a season, will he not also clothe you? Do you see what he's saying? God takes care of the birds and the flowers. And he says, if you are more valuable than them, see that verse 24 halfway? Of how much more value are you than the birds? Will he also not take care of you? The answer is yes. He will. He cares for you more than the birds and the flowers. This verse came across as I was studying 1 Peter 5, chapter 6. Listen to this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Amen? Because he cares for you. Therefore, he really will provide. He knows what you need. He knows your situation. You can trust him. So the next time you see birds flying around, yes, even the gross pigeons, all right, or you see the flowers on Nid remains in the spring, it should remind us, God provides for them. He can provide for me too. He cares for me more than them. That should come as a great comfort when we get worried or anxious about what we need in life. He knows. He knows what you need. He's got you. And listen, if that illustration of the bird and the flower isn't enough to prove to you that God loves you and cares for you, look at the cross. He cared for you so much that he shed his perfect blood for you. He cared for you so much that he went to the cross for you. He died for you. He took God's wrath for you. And if he went to those great lengths to forgive your sins and make you right with God, do you not think as a child of God that our Father won't take care of us? You see? For if we are in his family as a believer, that we've repented of our sin, if we've trusted Christ for salvation, he will accomplish what he wants through us and provide until we die and are brought home to be with him. He will. In whatever way he seems fit. So the main underlying issue of our anxiety and worry, especially in regard to our earthly needs, is because we lack trust in God. Really, look at verse 28, halfway down. He says to them, "O you of little faith." That's really the full diagnosis when we get to the root of it. "O you of little faith." And notice he says little faith. They had faith. They believed in God. They were his followers, but their faith was weak in this regard. And due to their weak faith, it caused them to doubt God and be concerned with earthly things, which led to anxiety, worry. And so I'll say again, if God created us, if God saved us, if he cares for us and loves us more than the birds and the lilies, he will provide for us. Have faith. And look at verse 25. I mean, think about what gain being anxious. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Jesus is saying nothing is to be gained by being anxious. Anxiety doesn't add anything. In fact, I would say anxiety takes away. It's a thief. It steals our time by preying on our thoughts and our feelings and our actions, doesn't it? It's consuming. I know when I'm worried about something, it clouds my mind. Right? And that's what I'm thinking about. And it robs me of joy. It robs me of time with my family. It robs me of time with my Savior. Anxiety is a battle fought, you see, not just physically, but it's a spiritual battle as well, isn't it? Everything is. Interestingly, if you go back and look at 1 Peter 5 that we just read, after he says, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, okay? It says right after, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. You see that? Anxiety is not just an earthly battle, it's a spiritual battle. And the minute we focus on earthly things, the minute we worry, we step into Satan's territory. And he can have a field day with it, right? Look at verse 30. All the nations of the world seek after earthly things. To seek means to set your heart upon, okay? To make it your main objective. What you seek is what you think about and what you live for, okay? And the nations of the world, people outside of Christ, I think he's talking about, they seek and they set their heart upon stuff, earthly things, right? The very place where Satan prowls around like a roaring lion to devour. And so Jesus says, stop seeking earthly things. Don't worry, don't be anxious. Trust me, I care for you instead. Here's the prescription, verse 31. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. There it is. If we seek God first, we trust him, he's going to provide what we need to make heavenly matters your primary concern, and then trust God that he's going to provide for your earthly needs. Just the order of priority. God first. All that other stuff comes second. One guy said, the person who seeks God's kingdom first shall never lack anything that is for their good. Now listen, that doesn't mean that you're going to have great health in this life or great wealth in this life, right? God never promises that. And also doesn't mean you don't work. He's not saying just sit on your hands and do nothing and God will just sort everything out. Work is good and biblical. But see, as we seek God first, you with me? First. And allow those earthly things to be lesser things. God assures you that you will always have enough. Just what you need. Just what you need. Not what you want, just what you need. You might be thinking, what does that look like? To seek first the kingdom. If that's the prescription, if that's the remedy, what are the directions? How do we follow the label? In a nutshell, to seek first the kingdom means to focus our life to worship and serve and proclaim Jesus and to live obediently to his word. In all areas of our life, every one of them, we live for Christ and we follow his word. That's what it looks like. To seek him above all things in every area of our life. You want a practical example? Let's take our passage here. I'm feeling anxious. I'm worrying. We come to his word. And we see, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, Philippians 4:6. Pray. I'm anxious. God says pray. Seek the Lord. And what will happen? No more anxiety. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit will work to help you to do that. Does it happen immediately? It can. I understand that some of our anxieties are deep-rooted. I know, I get it. And I understand some of our worries come with a lot of baggage and a lot of things to unpack. So I'm not diminishing those things that you're worrying about and your anxieties. It can take time to build trust in the Lord on these things, and that's okay. But you need to remember something. God knows, and as we've just seen, God does care for you. And like a loving father, he wants you to look up and keep trusting him as you walk with Christ. And the great thing is, not only will he do what he promises in his word right now to help us, we can have confidence in the future that we're going to get something that's better than anything else on this earth. Look at verse 32. We're almost there. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He's our Father. Remember that. He's not a distant God who doesn't know our needs, but a Father who cares for his children. So much so. Did you see that? So much so. It's his good pleasure to just give you the kingdom. Here you go. Everything that I am, I give to you. The kingdom of God. What amazing grace is that? Not only did he give us his perfect Son, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God, but he gives us the kingdom, heaven. Because remember, what do we deserve to be given? What do we deserve as sinners? We deserved hell. We deserved judgment, wrath. But what we get because of our faith in Christ is eternal life in the kingdom. Unbelievable. We get the benefits and blessings of being in his kingdom now, which includes what we read, peace, joy, hope, the Spirit of God. We get all those things now, and we have the heavenly kingdom to come. My old pastor back in Wyoming used to say, all this and heaven too? Praise Jesus. We get to look forward to the perfect place of peace. No more tears, no more sorrow. The place where we're clothed in perfection and we dwell with Christ for all eternity. And so if God's our priority and if the kingdom is what we seek above all things, it'll help ease our anxieties and realize that all this stuff here on earth doesn't matter in the grand scheme of eternity. Because heaven awaits. To have faith like this. Listen, it's hard. To really trust every day that, God, you know me and you know my needs. God, you care for me. And God, I know you've given me the kingdom. And if you have that, can you just sense the freedom that would bring in your life from anxiety if that is my focus? And when we have that perspective, it frees us from this world and all those earthly things. We just sang about it. Take this world. Give me Jesus. Verse 33. So much so, we're free of these earthly things. We can even sell our possessions if the Lord requires to benefit the kingdom and serve the poor and the needy. That's quite an example of seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. When we do those types of things, we're laying up for ourselves, it says, their treasures in heaven. That's the rest of verse 33. We don't lay up for ourselves treasures here on earth, but in heaven to come. And I was thinking, lately I've been watching American football, and I was reminded of all those commercials you see pop up. And you get them here, like investment opportunities for retirement. You know, put money away now so that later, you know, you can sip pina coladas on the beach or live in a gated community and play pickleball and golf. I don't know, whatever you want to do in retirement, right? Invest now, party later, the world tells us. I'm going to say, in some sense, this is more true in the spiritual realm. But we have to flip it on its head. We must invest not in ourselves, but in the kingdom. And when we do that, we have treasures in heaven that will last for eternity. And the way in which we do that is to seek first the kingdom of God. To do the things Jesus would do and to make sacrifices. In whatever way the Lord brings that, it might be financial ones, might be other things, but all these to benefit the kingdom of God and to glorify our Savior Jesus Christ. And finally, and very briefly, verse 34, for where your treasure is, there where your heart be also. I mean, at the end of the day, what we're anxious about, what we seek and how much faith we have says a lot about our heart and what we treasure, doesn't it? The heart is the center of our being, and what we worship, what we trust in, comes from here, our hearts. And so it's such a great place to end, to say, where is your heart this morning? When we come away from Scripture, we should always be asking ourselves that question, right? Are you worried and anxious about earthly things, or are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Do you treasure Christ, or do you treasure things of the world? As you consider that, let me end with more medicine to aid our souls in seeking first the kingdom and letting go of our anxieties. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things, including the kingdom? Trust in that, Christian. Treasure it up in your heart. Seek Christ and the kingdom first, and let go of your anxieties. And if you're not a believer here this morning, my prayer is that the only thing you're anxious about is where your soul is going to be. That you worry about that. But guess what? You can take care of it today. If you repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.